Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin. Be'ezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 415. Today, we're going to discuss another pitfall in marriage to avoid, which is trying to change your spouse. And we had in Ben Tzion Schaefer's book that we reviewed earlier in the series, his book, 10 Dumb Mistakes That Smart Couples Make. And one of those mistakes is the mistake of trying to change your spouse. And here we're going to go further into it. In general, I just want to say, which is a very important point, is that the Chazara, even when we repeat concepts, it's extremely important to constantly hear it again and again and to become fully aware. Like the Masilas Yesharim says, it's the obvious that we need to work on. And the more we listen and the more we integrate these ideas, and people have confided in me that it, over time by listening, it actually sunk in and they actually changed for the better as a result, and the marriage has changed for the better as a result. So, for example, so if you go to that shiur, trying to change your spouse, Ben Tzion Schaefer, this one will sound in some ways similar, but in some ways different. A different angle, a different thought, and some, you know, each one will resonate in a different way. So even when we do review something, there's always another angle. There's always something there that's a novel chiddush or some perspective, an angle that may have not been expressed in a different shiur. But regardless, it's so important to constantly review and to integrate into the person's life. The idea being is that one should not try to fundamentally change their husband or their wife. There could be unhealthy behaviors that could be manifested, sort of like manipulation or criticism, even coercion in certain cases, to try to change him or her to be more like you, or to act and to behave based on what your viewpoint is. And that never works. That hurts marriages, often, unfortunately, destroys marriages. So pick a typical example of it. You have a guy that's very socially oriented, likes to go places, and loves to, for example, let's say they could afford it, and they like going to these Shabbatons all the time and going to people, and they invite people, and they goes to the social events and blah malkas and simchas and this and the husband, being such an extrovert, and expects his wife to attend everything he's attending all the time, while the wife isn't as extroverted, and it doesn't fill her, you know, she gets drained by it, by always being, you know, going to the social events. And he sometimes schedules things without consulting his wife. Oh, you have to go here, go there. And it's draining. And again, in the beginning, you know, when you were dating, the husband enjoyed this more reserved nature of his wife. But now he expects that she should be there at every event that he wants to come to, or as a couple feels that they should come to, and it creates a certain pressure. So in such an example, this is just one example, the idea of the husband understanding not to try to change his wife. She's wired differently. She may also like people, and sometimes would be like to socialize, and sometimes will, because she knows it's important to husband, go along with him. But if she goes from place to place or always out the way he wants it, it'll wear her out. And if a husband doesn't understand this concept, it will take away her chias. And but if he does understand and he's compassionate, then it is a beautiful thing, actually. You know, when a husband, let's say, I'm giving this as an example, a husband's a big extrovert and goes to all these places, and sometimes, you know, where's your wife? And he says, my wife needs some time alone, and I respect it. And I'm more extroverted, she's more introverted, and that's fine. You're different. The idea that in a marriage you are unified, but you're still different. You're not wired the same. You don't have to be exactly, or even that similar, you know, to enjoy dafka the same things or the same music or the same foods or enjoy listening to the same shiurim. You're unified in principle. You love each other and you love Hashem and you want to serve Hashem the best way. But the idea being, though, is it can't be just about your own desires and your own interests. Marriage is the idea of accommodating each other and balancing it out. So let me give a couple of examples, practical examples that you could do for your spouse, husband to wife, wife to husband. It works both ways. If your wife, for example, needs more time alone, or your husband needs more time alone, one of you are more introverted than the other. So you will try to help them have that safe, healthy alone space to recharge their batteries. There are many introverts, we said this before, that they love people and they like being around people. And once they're with them, they like the interaction, but they still are introverts and they need more time alone. So if you, as a husband or wife, are more outgoing and you see that your husband or wife is more quieter and needs some time alone, you respect that and you love them for it. And you realize it's not a rejection. It's not that they're cold or anything like that. That's their nature. They need that time. And you do that chesed to give them that space. Sometimes a spouse, one of them needs more sleep than the other. By nature, one of them could live on 5 hours sleep a night and they function fine. Others, they need 6-7 hours, otherwise they'll collapse. If they sleep 4 hours, 3 nights in a row there, they'll fall apart. So here, the spouse, for example, that could live on less sleep and they're fine, but they see that their spouse needs more sleep. It's so transformational when you're not judgmental or think you're superior in any way or you're more functional. Just understand that people's natures are different and your husband or wife needs more sleep. So I'll do what I can to help them go to bed earlier. Sometimes when I see they're worn out and it's a not work day, let's say on a Sunday or long afternoon Shabbos, whatever it is, I'll give them time to nap when they're very tired and without making them feel guilty, without making them feel there's something wrong with them, that they need time alone or more sleep or whatever it may be. So it's idea of accommodating each other, but not trying to change each other. And it's the other way around too. If let's say one of them is more extroverted, they need more social time, whether to go to shiurim or go out to simchas, even the ones they don't know people that well, or go to these conventions, whatever it is. So a husband or wife that's more on the quiet side may say, I may go out more than I'd like, meaning to accommodate my extroverted spouse, I will go out more, but sometimes I won't because I can't, and my husband or wife will respect that, but I'll respect them too and allow them to socialize or do whatever they need to do and so on and so forth. So that's also healthy. Let's say you have a wife has a healthy friend, a husband has a healthy friend, meaning a good healthy friend, and they want to go over or whatever and talk for an hour and a half over things and whatever it is and personally meet, and the other one that's introverted and they say kol hakavod and they help each other with this, and the idea is when you can accommodate and find the middle ground, fine, and when you can't. And, you know, she stays home, he goes out, or vice versa. You encourage each other. You encourage each other to be the best you each can be. That's really the idea. And by doing that, you're not changing them. And there's such a relief when that happens. When one forgoes the other, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to read books and be in a, you know, that quiet time like I need to. Or you don't have to go to all these events like I need to. We'll work a middle ground and they'll love each other for it. You have this sometimes these scenarios where you know they get married. This happens more in you know more secular cultures, but as an example, you know, social is very important in those external cultures. Sometimes even in our world, it's important. So she's, let's say, an introvert, he's an extrovert, and it creates a great strain because she loves him, but for him to expect her to be everywhere with him, and you know, it just drains her. And the key really is, what's very important about this is not to take it personally. It's not a rejection. It's simply when one says, I need more sleep, or I need to be alone, or I need to get out more than you. It's not personal. It's not a rejection. It's simply that you're wired differently and you do your best to accommodate each other, but you also accept each other. You find that healthy balance. And the, you know, there could be, by the way, just letting you know, this is an important point. If, let's say, both husband and wife, they have different interests, and one of them is trying to get the other one to be interested in something, okay? So sometimes it works that way, that the more he and she does that, the more he and she will like it. And that helps a lot of times, and that's a good integration. We talked about that a lot, where sometimes it's not in a husband's nature to like certain things that the wife likes, but the wife loves it, so he learns about it, and he gets to enjoy it also somewhat, and the wife to the husband. So that happens sometimes, but it happens in a natural way of sharing their interests and listening, even though you may not be excited about a subject, but you listen, and eventually you may come to like something like that. Give you an example I brought from my own personal life. I love the idea of personality types, and I talk about it a lot. My wife is not into it that much, and that's fine. I learned to accept that. We're different. But when I do talk about it, and she listens, and she got to get the gist of it and has some interest or insight in personality types, even though that's not something I would not force her to read books about it. I would not, make her read lectures and watch videos about Enneagrams, MBTIs. That's not her thing. There's one humorous one that I actually show her that she enjoys, but she'll never enjoy it as much as I do. And that's okay. And the same thing the other way around. She likes certain things about, house swapping and sale, whatever it is, all these practical things that I got to get somewhat interested in because it's something she enjoys, but it'll never be an exact same interest. But it's not a rejection. It's not personal. It's that you're wired differently. Now, that's why when a husband and wife, they're enthusiastic to each other, and they say, oh, you know, just try this, you'll like it. So to a certain extent, in a non-confrontational, non-threatening way, without pressure, you try that. Sometimes it does happen, and you'll end up sharing some similar interests. You know, hey, my husband loved this, and I didn't care for it. Now that I tried it, I like it too. And the husband will say the same thing. My wife pushed me to do this, and now that I'm doing it, I enjoy it, and I actually like it. So that happens sometimes. But when it doesn't happen, and it's clear that the other spouse, whichever way it is, doesn't want to do this, or it really doesn't interest them. So instead of creating that pressure and straining the marriage, respect that space. Respect that space and honor that space. To understand, an introvert may need time alone. They may love people, but they get energized alone. I want you to enjoy your alone time when you need it. I want to help you be your best. And I'm going to honor your time, and I'm going to honor the way you are wired. And very often what happens is, what causes strains in marriage and ultimately divorce often, unfortunately, is a buildup of resentment. Sometimes it's because of a disconnection that grows. Sometimes it's resentment that grows. And the resentment grows a lot of times is when we make that mistake and we think that we're better off by ourselves than being with our spouse. And together, because we're so different or whatever it is. But when you go to the core of it and recognize, am I trying to change my spouse, or I'm honoring our differences? And when you honor the differences, then you get to appreciate it and to accommodate and work through it. And ultimately, it enriches both of your lives. That is why, again, Some marriages I see clearly in family members and friends and other things. And I don't know what's going on, you know, in everyone's life or anything like that. No one really knows. But the idea being, it's pretty clear, and based on studies and based on observation, that yes, sometimes you have a husband and wife that are very similar to one another and they get along beautifully. Sometimes they're similar to each other and they don't get along well because they don't have the skills. Sometimes you have people with opposite personalities that they have a beautiful, wonderful marriage, and sometimes they clash, again, because of lack of skills. So sometimes a change in personality difference could create some type of challenge sometimes. But the idea being is if you don't allow that resentment to come in and you don't try to change your husband or wife, but you accommodate and you respect them. Another thing to recognize is very often the thing you loved about them when you were dating or in an early part of marriage, later you start finding it awkward or whatever it is. So as an example, if one of them is very extroverted and likes talking and socializing and, you know, the idea being is when the introvert enjoys seeing that extrovert being the, you know, talking and that. But as you get married more and more and more and you more time passes by, you sometimes will sense some annoyance. You know, maybe they're talking a little too much and you start getting critical of it. But the idea being is, no, you appreciate them for who they are. Sometimes they could go overboard, an introvert with their introversion, the extrovert with their extroversion, but don't dim their light. When they shine, allow them to shine. And remember that, oh, very often these were the things you loved most about them. And sometimes it could be awkward when some quirks of personality shows up and that you're uncomfortable with, but you keep on, you know, encouraging each other and expressing and doing all that. And a lot of marriages could be saved by this fundamental concept, by the concept of you don't try to change your spouse, but you accommodate and work together. This happens so much. This is, by the way, the marriage is a microcosm of Klal Yisrael as a whole, with Baruch Hashem, so many could coexist in a beautiful way. And you could each respect each other and still do Torah mitzvahs each with their own derech and nevertheless respect each other. I don't dress like you dress. We dress differently. We may look different. We may have different minhagim, whatever it is, but we respect each other. I don't try to change you. You don't try to change me. And we'll honor each other. And the same thing with a husband and a wife. And by doing this, it creates a closeness and a beautiful shalom and ultimately a true oneness. A oneness that comes from merging those differences by both bringing each other into each other's life, but also at the same time honoring the space. Honoring the space in a healthy way brings a closeness. Appreciating this individual personality of your husband and wife brings a special closeness between the two of you. Bracha and Hatzlacha.